It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to
the police,
asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Friday, June 5th. Hard to believe, but the 5th day of June is upon us. We are in the Speak Out kitchen with no sink right here on McCulloch Boulevard in the Woods Building. And no stranger to Speak Out. Actually, you are a stranger to Speak Out. And I'm not mad at you or anything. You're just busy.
I've been busy.
That's the voice of Michelle Lynn.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Councilwoman Michelle Lynn, who wears campaign gear, right?
I'm wearing campaign gear.
It says Lynn for the win. Was that the one you used the last time?
No. This was Vice Mayor Diaz's. This was his motto for me.
Whoa.
Yep.
Wow. Good for him. Good for you, David. Hey, make this talk radio, not just listen radio, okay? He likes that saying.
Yes.
So.
He does.
All right. Let's see. I don't really have too much public stuff to get into other than Dave Heath is going to join me around the bottom of the hour. Dave is the, I think it's CEO now of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Colorado River. Dave had to go. He didn't have to. He just did it. I mean, you're 22 years with Bullhead City. You're the recreation superintendent. Boys and Girls Club needs you. You go. I guess that's how it works.
Yeah.
So that's his calling. And Dave was a club kid at that club when he was growing up. So they were having some issues, and he's gone in there to help, you know, steer the ship in the right direction. So there you have it. Anyway, Michelle, good to see you.
Good to see you.
I love talking to you off the air. One time, folks, Michelle called me, and I don't know, I thought it was going to be 5 minutes on the phone. It was, yeah.
We were on probably about an hour and a half.
I don't know about that. We don't have short phone calls,
no,
do we?
No.
That's why people make us go to voicemail.
Right.
So, anyway, let's get right down to it. How many terms will this be if you win re-election?
Fourth.
Your fourth term. Okay.
Yes.
So why did you run for city council in the first place? And how long were the odds when you ran?
They were very low. Very low.
I
was very politically green. I was kind of brought in to a kind of not kind campaign. I think I kind of taken advantage of a little bit, but I'm here.
Worse than now?
I think every campaign is dirty.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's been nasty the last couple of years. So
I don't remember ever getting to this level, especially on Facebook.
Well, now it's social media.
How do you feel about that?
I think that it's dividing our community. There's people that have been friends for a long time and colleagues, and it's very sad. It's very sad that we've come to this. And I'm hoping after this campaign everybody can shake hands and be friends again, but I don't know, because some things are really deep.
You know, and it's a good thought, but in this day and age of all the political hyperbole and that, and I mean, even on the national level, I don't think they shake hands anymore, you know.
Yeah.
What, if anything, would you change about how the Lake Havasu City Council conducts its business communications with the public and handles major decisions?
So I don't think we have enough community outreach. Yes, I understand we have coffee with the mayor. People are welcome to come to our meetings. They can come to our work sessions. But I think we need to get out in the community. I stated this the other day in the paper. I think we need to have some more town halls. We need to have some town halls. We need the people to come to us, tell us what the issues are. Let us talk about it. Let us look at it. Have staff go back and bring it back to the council. We're not having enough of those conversations. And a lot of times I feel that staff is just handing it to us from maybe a comment that was made at a coffee in the mayor and not a whole community outreach.
Interesting. Which brings up call to the public. You can't converse with the people that call to the public when they step up to the podium, but where would you put call to the public, at the beginning or the end, or what did you vote for?
To keep it in the beginning, and we are. We're putting it back in the beginning. It needs to be, because there's people sometimes that may come there and they don't want to be there till 10 o'clock at night. They just want to voice their opinion on something, and it may not be something on the agenda. But at the end of the meeting, we're always able to put something on the agenda as a council member with a second.
Yeah, council meetings are like baseball games. You never know when they're going to end exactly.
Yeah.
So how should the city balance its support for tourism and economic development?
If you're currently asking me about my opinion with Go Lake Havasu and
TED. I am.
TED,
well, that's part of
that's
it.
Part
there's,
of it.
There's part of it.
I think that we have had a lot of struggles with past CEOs in Go Lake Havasu. There's a lot of money that is given to that organization, $1.6 million. I'm not saying we do a horrible job with tourism. We do a pretty good job, but I think we could take it in-house. I know that they do that up in Kingman. It might take a little tweaking, but we have some good people here that work and are already promoting Lake Havasu, and I think we can continue that and do it in-house.
Were you surprised at the answer to, like, the Ironman people, for example, when they came to Havasu and said, I'm sure you know about this.
I know about it. It never came to council. I would have liked to at least had a conversation so that the council could have decided. I don't believe that staff should have made that decision without at least a little bit of council's advisement.
So as it stands right now with Go Lake Havasu, is there anything about their funding? The council cut it back to 1.6. It was unlimited depending on the tax collections, right?
Yes.
Is there anything else you would change? Would you take Go Lake Havasu, for example, in-house?
Yes, absolutely.
You would?
Absolutely.
What is your plan? Do you have a plan for that? Have you thought about how that dynamic would work? Would there still be, there obviously wouldn't be a board anymore, right?
No, it would be through the city, and you would have a tourism director. I believe that's what they have up in Kingman. I did reach out to Sarah Hall, who works for Bullhead City, and I asked her, and she gave me some information that I would like to have a conversation of it. Have I researched all of it? No, but I know that they are doing it. I believe Bullhead does it. So there is a path that we could follow.
Yeah, I don't know about Bullhead's as far as their convention visitors. And that it used to be called the CVB here, right?
CVB, yeah.
Yeah, but I know Explore Kingman is growing. So yeah, and Sarah's definitely capable. So as far as management goes, city manager or director, all on their own.
And
who would they be under?
It depends if they're a director.
I guess they would be under the city manager.
They're still under
right?
the city manager. If you're a director, you're under the city manager. If you're just a manager, I guess you would be under whoever director you're under. So currently we have, we have an airport director. He is an airport manager, not a director.
Okay.
So he does not have to report to the city manager. But we have a public works director, we have the financial director.
Right.
They are the people that directly report to our city manager.
And then Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec does not. Parks and Rec currently... we don't have a director right now. We have Anthony Klauski, who is our interim right now. At the time, though, when we had a director, they were reporting to the assistant city manager.
Oh, okay. Now, that director is no longer here. She resigned, I believe.
Correct.
She did not live here. How do you feel about that residency for Lake Havasu City employees?
I think it's
at
necessary.
Least in the county.
In the
right?
area. You need to be able to drive in at all times. I honestly, and this is no disrespect to Miss Vera, I think you need to live here. You need to live here. You need to know if you are in public works and there's a huge breakage in the middle of the night, you need to be here. If there's a situation at the Parks and Rec and with a child, you need to be here. So I would advocate for any new directors being hired that they live here or at least within our Tri-City area.
Does the council have any... I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here with Go Lake Havasu. With the recent breach of personal information from employees files that were, you know, taken out of the building and given to other people without permission. Does the council have any say over any of that?
Unfortunately, no.
No, none.
We have a council liaison, which is Vice Mayor Diaz, that now is on the executive board. But as for the council, unfortunately, I don't know if it's their bylaws or it's just because the way the contract's written, we don't really have a say on that. I mean, I have my own opinion on it, but we don't really have a say on that.
So let's talk about Partnership for Economic Development. What you have some, I've heard your thoughts on this, you know, in private phone conversations and that. I will divulge that. But tell our radio audience, what is your opinion on, say, the co-working space and, you know, the PED in general, is it being run right?
Ooh, that is a challenging question. I'm going to be as politically correct as I can on this. We could do more. We could do better.
Okay.
We could do better. I will give credit for some of the partnerships that have been brought in. I think there's been a lot of great work being done out by the mall with Jarrett Ports and the things going out there. I think now that they started the first Fridays, now that should be handed off. I don't think that should be a constant focus.
Who should run that? The first Fridays? Would it be a private group?
I believe they have their own group, and that should now be led by them.
I see.
I think it should be led by them. The PED, now here you go. We got it set for you. Now you go ahead and you do it. I don't think, I was on the PED board for 1 year. I was on the board. And every time I was there, that was the constant conversation. I'm like, can we move on to what, who you're out speaking to? What businesses are you bringing in? Like, where is that? Like, it's one Friday a month for 8 months. Like, this should not be 45 minutes of a board meeting.
It's a special event, and it's not a fundraiser for them, but a lot of clubs or whatever, like Silent Witness, we use it for a fundraiser.
Well, in all honesty, it was losing money. It doesn't make any money. It's not money generated. Does it do?
It brings in people.
It brings in people up. To be optimistic about it, yes. It brings people to the downtown area. It brings people into the downtown businesses. The downtown businesses probably love it. It does do that. But does it bring anything back into First Fridays, into their bank account? No. It does not.
What does that co-working space bring in? I don't know if you're not still on that board.
No, I'm not on that board anymore. I have not been in there recently. I haven't been in there for about 6 months. It's a pretty cool spot.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool spot. Is it doing what it originally was going to do? It was supposed to be a place for startup businesses.
Sure.
So if you are a young photographer and you're going in there and you need a space until you can get your next place.
I was going to say, for how long?
For how long? And there's current people that are in there that have successful businesses that have now just made it their permanent hub.
Oh.
And that kind of concerns me. Like, you need to move on.
It's not what it was developed for.
I don't believe it has. I mean, there's good things about it, but if you're in there and you are a successful business already, it's time to move on and give the next person that spot.
Okay. Should PED, again, be brought in-house?
I think it can be. I mean, we give them $500,000. It's two people that basically run it with a board. I think it could be brought in-house. You know, I'd have to look a little bit more at what that looks like. But to be honest, I'd like to just put a little bit more pressure on them to do a little bit more economic development.
Cal disagrees with me, but Bullhead has theirs in-house. Mm-hmm. Kingman has theirs in-house. I believe Gary Kellogg's still there, but Bennett Bratley is with the Kingman Economic Development, whatever they call it. Bullhead's pulling in a lot of new business, including the Olive Garden that everybody's, you know, praises and loves. Myself not included. I like Olive Garden, but you know, I would rather get your shrimp with lobster sauce to tell you the truth. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. Is that the bench? It seems to be the benchmark.
Yeah, I think it's time to at least look at it. I think it's time for the council to sit down and take a look, have a work session. What would it look like to bring Gold Lake Havasu in? What would it look like to bring PED in? We haven't had those discussions of what that looks like, so let's discuss it. Is it the best route? Is it not the best route? But let's have the community involved in that. Like I said earlier, have some town halls. What do you see? Where do you want to see our growth, and what are we not getting, and what do we want to achieve?
Now, we had a text that came in just now. It's 928. 727-5566. It's the KNTR text line, and you can text in as well. But the person apparently has a knowledge of Go Lake Havasu. There is say so as far as Go Lake Havasu goes with the council. You don't have to renew the contract.
We don't have, absolutely. We don't need to renew the contract. And in the past, I have said no almost, I believe, every time.
I wonder
time.
When that's up.
I think so, we have a couple more years.
Well,
there's a couple more years.
Okay. If you get reelected, you'll be on the council. So there you go.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, the city's general plan. What long-term vision would you have wanted to see reflected in that future growth?
You know, Paul, I'm kind of disheartened about the involvement with the general plan. And I think we're both voting on it this upcoming Tuesday. Mm-hmm. The lack of involvement from the community. We put this out there. It's been advertised. And I don't even know how much more to get our community involvement. But the lack of participation in it and this huge thing that's going to be in front of us for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. That now as a council member and hopefully future council member, there's going to be things coming in front of me that has been put in place in this brand new general plan. What I want to see is stop the rezoning, stop the changing of things once the plan is created. What's in the general plan, that we need to stick to the general plan. If it's commercial, it stays commercial. We don't move it to light industrial if that's what the general plan stays. It needs to be consistent.
As far as the, what is that project called on the island? 88
yeah.
acres?
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
a name for it.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
I can't
it was a no for me.
I can't remember the name. Anyway, were you okay with the way that was rezoned?
No, I've said no on it.
So
what
did you feel should have been done differently?
Well, I voted no on the rezone, and then I voted no on the whole project on it. If I were to have voted yes on anything, there was conversations with the developer's team on where they were going to possibly assist with adding additional money mm-hmm. to the second bridge, not starting the vertical until the bridge was done on building, and our council decided not to accept those.
Was that gotten? I was going to say, was anything gotten in writing as far as from the developer?
No, no. I mean, we have a handshake and we rezone, so now he can do what he says he's going to do, and I hope that he does. To be perfectly honest, going forward, we need the second bridge before we do any of that.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be too much development out there, and you need it just for safety issues. You need that second bridge.
Okay. Do you have a solution to the city's housing? I don't call it a problem. It's a situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's in crisis anymore. I know of several units that are available from one landlord anyway. Do you have a solution that can actually be addressed at the local level, an actual policy?
I don't know if there's an actual policy. I mean, I can really tell you my honest opinion. Sometimes people just need to live within their means. Because if you're not living within your means, Paul, I'm sure you were like me. You were that college student. The first apartment was $200 a month. I drove a beat-up car.
$325.
I didn't drink Starbucks every day. I didn't have a $1,000 cell phone. So you got to live within your means. Uh-huh. With that being said, I do know as a new person trying to get in, a young person or somebody who's starting over, to come up with first month's rent, the down payment, all that is extremely difficult. So there are some programs that help with that, but there's not enough. I do think that the solution that we are looking is going out north. I think the new development out by the mall, I think the DL Ranch, those are some great solutions for first-time homeowners.
Oh, interesting. Okay, and how should the Main Street Commons fit into the city's larger downtown strategy? Or is that something that you would leave up to local businesses? Am I touching a nerve on this one? I have with a lot of people.
Paul, from the day that we purchased the property, I was mm-hmm. a no vote on it. I'm really done with putting any more money into the downtown Commons Park. If the downtown district wants to invest money in it, go for it. But as for the city investing any more money in it, leave it alone. I actually think we should take at least a year, take a big breather, because everybody, the emotions are so high on that mm-hmm. project. Just take a step back.
Is it the council's responsibility to make sure the city supports local business events and community life?
Well, I think it's always important to support events. I don't know what on a financial level that looks like. I know that we have fees for some of the organizations that come
right.
in. But we do have to pay for that extra police and fire that's there. So, I mean, I think there's a way that we can balance that. They do bring in a lot for
right.
us. So I think that's conversations that could be had.
So there's part two to that question. Major events like Desert Storm that pay permit fees to host their event. Do you think it's fair to those events that they're charged? I know what they were charged. I know what they wanted. The city wanted Oh, my goodness.
We cut it, though.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair that those businesses are charged or those events are charged fees even though they're bringing in major sources of tax revenue, especially Desert Storm?
To be perfectly honest, I don't really think that those organizations that are coming in here, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to speak probably for them, and I shouldn't. The fees that we charge them, they do so well when they're here. I think it's minimal to them. And we have to really think about that. We're closing down streets. We're having to bring in the barricades. We're having to bring in extra police. So I think it's justified. I think it's justified. What those fees look like, I think they should be consistent with every organization that comes in, not based on who it is. Now,
okay.
We do give some discounts to, I believe, the nonprofits and stuff, which we need to, because they're generating the money and putting it right back into our community.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and we'll forego the break. We're a little late for it anyway. We'll float it and we'll go straight through
sure.
with you, Michelle, until Dave calls in. So, you know what? I just got to thinking, too. My calls usually... I'm on the privacy, the do not disturb. He might not be able to get through. So, this might be a good time to take a break. I'm kind of talking my way through this, so I can go ahead and hook up the phone with him. But we will come back with you,
okay.
Michelle Lynn, 928-854-5687. You can call in. Dave will be on the other line, so 928-854-KNTR. Stay with us. We'll be right back with incumbent Councilwoman Michelle Lynn. Stay with us.
Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and the stripes and the eagle fly. They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask. This, my friend, have you forgotten how it felt that day?
And I know I haven't forgotten. Man, that was a tough day in American history. You know, there's a lot to be said, Michelle, about today's youth and some of the disrespect. Not all youth. There are some really good kids out there, but the disrespect of the country that were not here when 9/11 went.
Absolutely.
And you know, you're faced with wow.
Absolutely. I was a school teacher last year teaching first grade, and even to get a kid to put their hand over their heart to do the Pledge of Allegiance, I'm like, are you kidding? Stand up.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and you'll like this, from the mind of Dallas Finch, right?
Yep.
Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo, and it's home to the Booby Dropper. Have you seen this thing?
No, but I went by there. It smells delicious.
I think it's 50 cents, and it looks like one of those things you ride in front of the store.
Yeah, I don't think you're not going to see me on there, Paul.
It's a bowl. Although you're light enough that you wouldn't see me on there, I'd probably break it. So, yeah, Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. That's the rodeo. Main Street, Havasu. All right, we're back with Michelle Lynn, and I just spoke with Dave Heath, and we'll be on with Dave in about 5 minutes or so. Talk about the Boys and Girls Club and one of their signature events, Fiesta. So a lot of people here are familiar with that too. So, and speaking of which, is there a fundraiser or an event that is unique to Havasu that you support?
Oh, we do a lot of them. So we do the Balloon Fest. We've done the K-12. Taste of Havasu. This was the first year we didn't do it because I didn't have staff. We're in it for this year again. Charter Fest we've been involved in. Unfortunately, I had a new grandbaby this year and wasn't able to be in that.
Congratulations.
Yes, and then we do a lot of small ones. I do with the Clothes Closet. We do like the back-to-school drives and stuff like that. So we're actually involved in a ton of different
Are you still things. On the board with the Clothes Closet?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Tell me what about that organization that you support the most.
Well, I'll just tell you, I was in there two or three days ago, and the day before they had reached 66 people in one day had come into those doors. And these were not where people want to assume they were homeless. They were not. They were people that were coming in with DV cases. There were people that were coming in and needed clothing. There were people that needed showers. There were people that needed assistance with their medical, assistance getting jobs. So that place does so much more than just give somebody a place to rest.
Is there a homeless problem in Havasu?
I think it is so minor compared to Bullhead and Kingman. We have, we do have some issues, and it has gotten worse. And I think that those issues have gotten worse because we have very few mental health outreaches here. Mm-hmm. There's not, we don't have a recovery program here. We do in Kingman and Bullhead. One of the biggest obstacles is transportation, getting those people to those resources
right.
at the time and meeting them at that time.
I was going to say, recovery program number one, and veterinary services. What do we do about that? As can the city do anything about that for incentives or I mean, that's a tough slope, but what can the city do?
I think what you'll have to do is get some council members and a mayor and that are willing to bring in social services into the community. And I think there's a solution for that. They have a human resource director up in Bullhead that does that, and I would love to see that position in Havasu.
Oh.
I think that's exactly what we need to kind of put that together.
Interesting. We're going to take one phone call. I have to let Michelle go soon. So, caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Paul, it's Greg again.
Hey, Greg again. What's going on?
Hey, well, I just want to let you know, thank you, Michelle, for doing what you do with the clothes closet.
You're welcome.
I'm a member of the Lake Havasu Big Band, and on November 14th, we will be doing a charity dance at Chagrou's for them.
Oh.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
On November 14th.
Are you just finding out?
I've known Christine for many, many years. She does a great job.
Oh.
Tom and I talked about doing a charity dance for one of the charities, and I suggested Christine. So
I love it. I will pass that information on.
That'll be November 14th. And we're still putting all the particulars together. So,
all right, let me know if you need any help because I like to fundraise.
Oh, good. Yeah, we will definitely need your help.
Okay, I'm on board.
So,
thank you.
I'll figure out how to get a hold of you.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks,
Greg.
All right,
thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, and then lastly, tell us about your history with kids and families in Lake Havasu City.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that came from the touch.
I know. You know what? It's okay. I am a mom of five. We raised all of our kids here. They all went through the different schools here, the private schools, the charter schools, and the public school. I was a school teacher last year, taught first grade at Havasu Preparatory Academy, was going to do it again this year, and our school unfortunately closed. I work in our children's ministry at our church. I work very closely with The Landing, which is a recovery program at Celebrate Recovery with the kids every Monday. I mean,
that's part of Celebrate Recovery.
Part about Celebrate
that's
Recovery
a program,
for the youth.
Right?
Yep,
yeah.
It's for, and it's this part that I'm in is for the youth program from 11 to 18, I believe. That's what our age group is. Our family donates to Parks and Rec. I support any of the sports teams that come to us. I mean, the involvement that we have with our families and youth in here, there's so many I could list.
On a personal note, what are your plans for next year with teaching?
I
know what happened at the Christian
Academy. I'm going to be very honest. I think I need to take a break.
Okay.
I have girls. My twin daughters are going to be seniors this year. Hopefully this campaign pulls through and there'll be a lot of work and I get to keep my seat and there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But I think I'll probably up the service that I'm doing at my church so I can still stay within the youth.
Okay. You didn't have to say anything. So, but I understand with the whole senior year thing. And then finally tell people why they should vote for Michelle Lynn for city council.
I just think it's my proven voting record. Go back and watch the meetings. Call me. I have a great memory. It's crazy. It drives my husband nuts. But I will remember exactly how I voted that thing. So if you tell me I said something, and I will let you know. I know how I voted. I will go and I will research and pull out the slide of it. So.
Right. That's funny.
Yeah.
No, the husband part. That was very funny.
Yeah.
So, all right, Michelle. We'll have you on again soon for the second half hour, but we appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you,
in person, talking on Speak Out.
So I do have an event. Am I allowed to tell you what my event is?
Absolutely.
I have a meet and greet Monday, June 22nd, 5 to 8 at Linsville, China. Completely free. Come down for some Chinese food, chit-chat. There might be some other candidates there. So come on down on Monday, June 22nd.
Ooh, that sounds good. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And again, we'll come back on the other side with Dave Heath. He is the President and CEO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Colorado River. Should be very interesting conversation, by the way. All right. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
All right. And I'm Paul Lavoie. We will return in a moment on Speak Out, 928-854-5687. If you want to talk to Dave Heath, he will be on the other line. And, yeah, we proved it works yesterday. So there you go. All right, back with more in a moment on Speak Out. A little Toby Keith to take you out. I'm kind of stalling because he says, you know, we put a boot. And here we go with some Toby Keith.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly. And it's gonna be...
All right, back on Speak Out. I'm on the line, Dave Heath. You are president and CEO, correct, Dave?
That's right. Well, just CEO.
Just CEO. Okay.
Right.
Well, I'm surprised. Well, yeah, you have too much experience to be executive director. Is that it? Or is it the same thing? It's just a title or what?
Yeah, it is. It's actually just a change that Boys and Girls Clubs of America thought was a good thing to do.
Oh.
I don't know. 15 years ago. No more executive directors. We're calling them CEOs now, so it's the same thing.
So to my loyal listeners, that's where the mothership comes from, by the way, is we always call BGCA the mothership. So I kind of borrowed it for Radio Central because we oversee the three radio stations. That's just a fun fact, Dave. You don't really need to know that or put it in your notes.
I like fun facts, Paul.
I know you do. I know you do. And Dave and I have a long history, a good history. So Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, Solar Powered by Esme Electric, Doritos Place, Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City, and A&B Propane online at abpropaneaz.com. I tell you what, you're going to hear these promos starting tomorrow on KNTR Talk for the Primary Candidates Forum. It's going to be at the PAC at the high school on Wednesday, June 17th. PAC is an acronym for Performing Arts Center, all right? So the radio version gets going at 5:30. The doors open at 5. So if you see 5 on a flyer, that's when the doors open, okay? Live on 106.7, 5, and 3, the voice of the free, and streaming at KNTRTalk.com. And I'll bring that music down so that Dave can hear me just a little bit better. So, I'm really green on this whole issue of why you are back at the Boys and Girls Club. All I know is that the Fort Mojave Club, I was shocked that it closed after all the work that went into that with the outside field and all that. Dave, what happened between Autumn leaving and there was a new CEO, I believe, and then you came back? What happened?
Well, I mean, you talk about shock, you and me both, Paul. And I'm going to be real honest with your listeners and with you today. I just think it became such a challenge for the new CEO to operate that she just needed to move on. So they were doing there was a lot of challenges as far as, you know, grants were going, as far as fundraisers were going, and it led to a financial situation for the club that they didn't have long to live. I mean, they would have been shutting down pretty soon. Yeah, so I knew that they were struggling. I was talking to Terry Tomlinson at Legacy Foundation a little bit about it, and she was, you know, keeping me informed as to what's going on, because I always loved the club, you know.
You're a former club kid. Of course you love the club.
Started out as a club kid, that's right. And as Terry was telling me what was going on, I was like, oh, that's a shame. It's really bad to hear. I can't stand hearing it. Let me see if I can help you find somebody else to run this club that might be good locally, because it was at that time it was becoming clear that the previous CEO was going to be leaving. And then the more I heard, the kind of the worse it got.
Oh no.
And it got to the point where I felt like I need to step up. If this place is going to be saved, I think that I need to be the one to do it. I need to kind of put my money where my mouth is, so to speak, and really
step up and take the reins again. Now, it was a hard decision, real hard decision. I was at the city for 25 years
yeah.
in Parks and Recreation, the superintendent there. And I was very convinced that in about 11 years I was going to retire from that job. And to take this job where we didn't have enough money for payroll the first week that I started. So that was the situation I was walking into.
Oh, my goodness. But
that's why I felt I was needed in this situation, because I am a person who's lived in this community basically my whole life. I'm 54. I've lived here for 53 years. And
right.
and I have a lot of connections. I can talk to people. I can get people excited about the Boys and Girls Club again, and that's what's going to make this whole thing work. It's not like I'm going to be the guy that's just going to come in and say, hey, here's Dave Heath. Let's throw the switch. Everything's fixed.
Well,
it's not like that.
I have a thought about that. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it's about getting the community involved, and that was what had to happen, and getting the community excited about helping kids again. And I got to tell you, the response has been incredible, and it's been really kind of moving for me, to be honest, that,
right.
that the community has stepped up in such a way to save the club.
Folks, Dave's not – he's not overestimating or exaggerating this right now. The response online is incredible. Dave, I'm going to tell you right now that anybody else came in besides Olivia McCormick, all right, if Olivia had come in, probably the same response. But I don't think anybody else locally, because they know you, they trust you, and I'm just saying, I'm not trying to, you know, pat you on the back or anything like that, although I am. I don't think the level of support from the community would have been as positive with somebody coming in from the outside if you guys did a search, like if it was interim. But no, you said this is permanent, right?
That's right. This is permanent. Now I'm going to retire from this job.
Wow.
So,
well, who knows?
That's the idea.
Maybe you'll be a BGC regional person, right? One of the, what do they call them, the reps?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Nah, you don't want to do
because
that.
Really what this is about is my love for the community and
right.
for the kids in the community, and just wanting to see the best for those kids, for those families that need the club the most, you know.
You know, I want to move on to your signature event, or one of your signature events, Fiesta, but I can't help but think that, you know, when you left the club as – you were a director, right, before?
Right.
Okay, yeah, I have it right here. You were 13 years at the club, and the last 5 you were there was executive director, and then 22 years at the city. But there was no gym at the club because the management team that I was part of, we helped build that gym.
That's right.
Right?
And when I worked at the club back then, it was just like, gosh, could you imagine if we had a gym, how awesome it would be here?
I know.
Well, now we got a gym, and it's pretty awesome. So.
What does that do for your average daily attendance and for your attendance overall? Because now you can run the basketball program in-house. You don't have to go to 3 different schools.
Well, it's not just that. We can run the basketball program in-house. We can run the basketball program twice a year, have 2 different seasons for it. We can run volleyball now. So, you know, in Bullhead City, when it comes to basketball, you know, you've got Little League runs baseball. You've got AYSO runs soccer. Well, Boys and Girls Club runs basketball in Bullhead and has done that for 30-plus years.
Yep.
And that's the situation now. Now we're running 2 leagues. And now it's the same thing with volleyball. Boys and Girls Club runs volleyball in Bullhead City. Started out with about 60 players the first season, and it was over 200 in the last season.
Wow.
So it helps a lot.
That's phenomenal.
To answer your question.
So yeah. when is Fiesta? A lot of people are familiar with Fiesta. Kind of give me the elevator speech on the event itself, and then tell me what's needed from the community as far as teams go. Are you still looking for teams?
Well, I got to tell you, Paul, as far as Fiesta goes, we were taken by surprise by how successful the response was online. So last Friday, I threw the doors open. I made a little video and said, hey, look at us. We're bringing the Fiesta back. Come and get involved. Get a sponsorship. Get a table.
What's the date?
By next Monday morning, they were sold out. All the tables are gone. All
what?
The tickets are sold.
How many tables? 40 or what?
30. We've got 30
okay.
tables of 10
uh-huh.
in the Starview Room at the Riverside Resort
right.
in Laughlin.
Okay.
It's going to be July 31st. Doors open at 5:30. And for those who don't know, it's a contest. And the contest is We have 10 teams. All the teams are booked too. So
really?
No more rooms for teams. Yeah. We've got 10 teams, and what they're doing is they're making the best blended margarita they can make and the best on the rocks margarita they can make. Uh-huh. And they're competing in three categories. Number one is the booth. They decorate their booth up in whatever theme they want and to make it look cool and fun. And that's a fun competition. So they get a, the winner gets a trophy for best booth. There's a winner for best blended. There's a winner for best on the rocks, and there's a winner for People's Choice. Now, the way you vote for People's Choice is we have a box at each booth into which you stuff a dollar if that's where you want your vote to go.
Stuff being
all those dollars.
Stuff being the operative word, right?
That's right.
I'm kidding. Go ahead. You know what I mean.
And well, all that money goes back to the kids.
Uh-huh.
So it's pretty awesome. We're also going to have our 10K giveaway at this event too, which is we sell 200 tickets for $100 each. Winner gets half of it. We get half of it. The winner gets 10,000. We get 10,000. So that's always a fun event too, to announce the winner. Those tickets will be on sale starting Tuesday, and hopefully we'll be all sold out of those before we get to the event too on the 31st.
Dave, normally I think it was August started the annual campaign. Are you doing it again this year?
We're working on those kinds of fundraisers right now. When I got here, again, this is only the end of my third week right now.
Oh, boy.
When I got here, it was like, hey, what are we doing in terms of fundraisers? Well, let's get a golf tournament going, let's get the fiesta going, and let's get the board built. So we had a 6-member board. When I got here, I added 11 new board members in the first week. Got them on, got these two events started. The golf tournament will be in October. And then we're going to start looking at all the planned giving and the events throughout the year. Yes, as a matter of fact, you know, Give to a Kid is kind of an event, is a program we need to get started again, which is just our annual giving campaign. The nice thing is it kind of started on its own because, again, the community found out what the club needed. They found out that the club was in trouble, and they just started stepping up. I mean, here's, you know, a former, you know, Hal and Gretchen Lyons come in with a $1,000 check.
Saw
you know,
that.
The Rotary Club yesterday gives me a $10,000 check. It's just everyone wants to step up and help the club, and you got to love that.
Oh, I do. That's really awesome. And, there's a lot of love for that. I remember when I came to the Boys and Girls Club, it was about 4, maybe 6 months before that. The club was in a similar situation. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah.
I don't want to say any names. So I know who the director was in that, but Terry came in, righted the ship, and I'm blessed to have been hired by Terry and that executive board. And then Tommy Bigelow was there as well. And I know you still keep touch
Who?
With Tommy. T-Biggs, right? So, the club has a special place in my heart, if it sounds like it, folks. And this is a big news story, believe it or not. So, I mean, if the Boys and Girls Club loses a footing in the community, that is just a huge loss. So,
well, and it impacts families in a huge way. I mean, what are they going to do all summer? What are they going to do after school? There are answers. The answers are a whole lot more expensive than what we're doing. The answers also would be limited. We aim to make every kid feel like they belong, every family feel like this is a great place to take their kid in Fort Mojave, Bullhead City, and Laughlin. And just to be very clear, the Fort Mojave Club, they did have to close it for the summer to kind of save the whole organization, but it's opening back up when school starts again, and it will not be closed for another summer. If it is, then I didn't do my job, and I won't be working here next summer. So.
Well, the board will have something to say about that, but what about the Laughlin Club?
Laughlin Club is going great. They've got a great staff there. We're doing really great with grants supporting that club.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's in the Spirit Mountain Activity Center, and Clark County does a great job of supporting us. It's so nice. I mean, when you don't have to pay rent and you don't have to pay for maintenance and things
right.
like that, it's a really nice setup over there in Laughlin. And the community over there is really behind us too. Three of my new board members are John Moss. You know John Moss,
He's
former
the
club member.
The
principal over at Laughlin. Yeah, that's right. And he's a great board member. Ashley Sands, and used to be Ashlyn Bilbray.
Oh, Ashlyn Bilbray, yeah.
Yeah, she's on our board now, and she is a phenomenal board member. Yeah. She's doing everything she can. She just, before we got on, she's the one that sent me the text for our last spot getting filled for the margarita competition.
Right. Who's it gonna be? Old Town? Is that the team?
That was the first one.
Oh, okay.
she told me, you definitely got Old Town. That's their company. The last one, Aquarius. Aquarius is the last one. She just got in there for.
Nice.
That was great. So, and then the third board member, new board member we got is Matt Laughlin. And Ashlyn and Matt both, when I used to work over at the Laughlin Club, they went there every day. You know, so. When we work at the Boys and Girls Club, it's all about telling the story of, you know, look at these kids that turn into successes.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell you any success stories any better than Ashlyn Sands and Matt Laughlin.
Right.
Those two are great club members, and they're great members of our community right now.
Oh,
and
goodness.
And Matt, you know, when we said, I scheduled a meeting with him my first week and said, Matt, we got to bring the Fiesta back. Can you help?
Wow.
Yeah, I can help.
Phenomenal.
And I said, well, then can you join our board? Yeah, I can do that too.
Right.
And when it comes to Fiesta, here's the room, here's the snacks, here's the shirts, here's the ticket. I mean, he's a phenomenal board member.
Hey, Dave. I gotta go, or I gotta answer to Sean Hannity, and I don't have any kung fu skills. So, but that is a power board, and I gotta get you on the show more for sure. And you're always welcome, as you know, on Speak Out. And Dave Heath, God bless you, man. What a great decision. I mean, I can't believe it. The club, I think the club is in good hands. That's my opinion. Okay.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you for letting me on the show. I love it, and I'll come anytime.
You bet. All right. Best of luck, Dave Heath. Thank you so much. And I got to take a quick break and come right back with a final shot. No, I'm going to take it to the top of the hour. We're going to go into the news and then into Sean Hannity. And join us on Monday for Speak Out, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center schedule. All right. We'll see you on Monday.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.